Wait. Hold up. What's going on, guys? My name is Wyatt Reed, and this is Seller Finance Deals Podcast. And today I've got Alexa and John on. Thank you guys so much for being on.
Yeah, we're excited.
Awesome. So let's talk. What I want to do first is I just want to kind of get y'all to introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about you guys, what you're doing, and your background. And we don't spend a lot of time on this, so we want to get into the meat and potatoes, right? So just tell us a little bit real quick about you.
I'm Alexa Bolton Clark. This is my husband, John Clark. I work at General Motors during the day, and we do investing. I do investing on the side, and it's kind of becoming John's primary thing.
So General Motors, that's in Columbia, Tennessee, right? You guys are from Tennessee.
Spring Hill. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Spring Hill. Yep. So I guess we're going to be doing a case study over the Myers property that you guys had. This was in Columbia. It was a flip. And so let's take it all the way back from to the beginning. How did you guys find this deal?
A wholesaler found that deal, and we bought that property through a wholesaler.
Got you. So it was a free lead source, right? You didn't have to pay anything to find this wholesaler. It was just networking. You found them on, where did you find the wholesaler at?
It was John Coleman.
Oh,
that brought the wholesaler to me. So John, really it is networking.
Yeah. So, that was when he was, back in the group, right? So, it pays to be in a real estate investing group, right? Or a coaching group. So, so for you guys that are listening that don't know what wholesaling is, it's essentially one investor is getting a property under contract at a discounted rate, and then they're turning around and assigning their rights to that contract to another investor for an assignment fee. In this case, I mean, do you know how much the assignment fee was?
I want to say that assignment fee was $5,000 or $10,000. Do you remember?
I thought it was more than that. I thought he had it for like $160,000 and we got it for
It was either $5,000 or $10,000.
It's not important. The thing that's important is that somebody else made $5,000 to $10,000, maybe more, off this deal, and then you guys turned around and made what you made on it, right? So which is how much did you guys make?
We ended up walking away with right at, was it $68,000
on your first deal. That's crazy. So that's why I want to do this and make a case study out of it, because obviously not everybody's going to make $68,000 on their first deal, but it is possible. And like, we're me and you and John, like, we're no better than anybody else. Like, we're just normal everyday people, right? We've had jobs. I worked in the factory too. And that's like the most important thing to get out there is that, like, we're not just like trust fund babies or anything like that. We're just normal folks. So if we can do it, surely to goodness, anybody and everybody else can do it, right?
Yeah. So as long as you're motivated, then yeah, you can do it.
100%. You got to take massive imperfect action, right? So how did you guys fund this deal? How did you get come up with the money? Did you pay for it with all cash or what?
No. So the only cash that we came out of pocket on that property was $2,000 down for earnest money. And I'm not mistaken, that went straight to the wholesaler. And that was just in case we backed out of the deal, of course. And then we had hard money that paid for the 90% of the purchase price, plus the closing. No, not closing costs, plus the rehab. Sorry. And then we had a bridge lender that paid the 10% and then the closing cost.
So essentially you guys got out of it. I mean, you put earnest money down, but that's just in case anybody backs out of the property and that wholesaler gets that $2,000 if you back out, which they didn't. Right. So essentially you got into this thing with none of your own money. You used a hard money lender, and that hard money lender is someone who brings 90% of the purchase price and 100% of the rehab, right? And then you turned around and used a bridge lender who gapped that 10% that you needed to finish the purchase, But you also got closing costs and fees and everything wrapped up in there, right?
Right.
So that's awesome. And like people always are so like, when you say, when gurus or anybody really just says you can get into these deals with none of your own money, it's like, it throws up red flags to people and they're like, man, this is a scam. This can't be true. But it's so crazy that like Zach was, he was speaking at Zach Turner, one of our other students. He was speaking at the wine event the other night, and he was like, I know this sounds crazy, but I just walk into the title company and they get me to sign the papers and I walk out. I didn't have any money I didn't have any money in the deal. So he said it's a weird feeling, but it's definitely doable, right? So take us through the numbers real quick. I got my notepad here. I'm taking notes, so everybody else should be too. But what did you purchase the property for?
Like I said, with $180 was the purchase price, and that was with everything, you know, wholesaler fee and whatnot. Mm-hmm. $180 was the purchase price, and then we did a $100,000 rehab, roughly $100,000.
That's a big for your first property.
It was, but now we've done this before. Like we've done live and flips before, so mm-hmm. It was just the first time that we had done it without living in it and did it without using our own money. So
nice. Yeah. I've got buddies that do the live and flip model that are just getting started. It's a great way to do it. I always say it's a great way for like single folks to do it too, because like once you add kids and a, you know, spouse into the mix, you're living in a flip house. I could see that getting frustrating.
We did that. So that's the reason we decided not to do it again.
Yeah, 100%.
It gets me like with kids.
I tried to paint my first house and like I stopped after the first hour and I was like, I'll never do this again. So all right. So let's talk about the funding. Let's talk about the numbers. So you guys purchased this property for one. How much rehab did you guys put into it?
About $100,000.
All right. And then after resale and everything, all the fees, the hard money lending, the final number was around $342,000. You guys sold it for $402,000, which left you around $68,000 in profit, right?
Right.
Okay. Good deal. So let's go through this thing, man. What all did it need when you first got started? You guys were going to Airbnb this and just burn.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. That's where I was about to say. Hold on. Because that wasn't the original plan. No.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a light rehab, a very, very light rehab.
And it was super cute. And of course, I wanted to do an Airbnb. And we walked the property. There was renters in the property. So there was a lot of issues that were covered up by the renters.
And we only walked it once. We only saw the house one time.
Yeah, that being said, you don't always have to do that.
No, but it's, really.
The way the market is in Columbia, we moved quick on it.
Yeah, for sure.
And without doing proper numbers on our end. So that's the reason it got changed. Yeah. But that being said, the house needed a lot more work than it would take for us to be able to make money on an Airbnb. Or it would take a longer amount of time to make that money. Mm-hmm. So we decided to do a flip instead.
Decide that after the tenant got moved out and you started getting it cleaned out and you started seeing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know if it was that at that point or when we first started doing the reno and realized that we were going to have to go a little deeper than what we thought.
Yeah. Yeah. We started getting a little bit into the reno. I want to say it was probably week two.
Yeah.
Reno. And we were like, yeah, this isn't going to make sense the way that we thought. So we ran some numbers as far as Airbnb goes versus flip. And for me to make that amount of money, it would have took me over 2 years as an Airbnb with an occupancy rate.
Right. So what were some of the mistakes that you guys made, or what were some of the issues that you guys ran into?
Electrical issues, plumbing issues. There was a whole bathroom that needed to be redone. Wound up being two bathrooms needing to be redone.
And then we added a half bath. So your big ticket things, we ended up having to go in and almost completely redo. So John does construction work for a living. And our original plan was for John just to do all the work. And, you know, we would just take that profit. Or actually, well, let me take that back. When we started, he was going to do the work. And then we were just going to roll that into an Airbnb within, you know, 5 to 6 months. but we kind of put ourselves in a bind by deciding to do all the work. It did take us the full 6 months, and John did majority of the work. We hired out some contractors for our new roof to help with some of the framing, hanging sheetrock and paint, trim, and then cabinet install. But anything and everything else, John did, or John and I did.
Y'all've got a interesting situation where you can do that, but I see a lot of the times like newbies want to, like myself when I first started, want to go in and do some of the stuff themselves to save money and end up like spending more money because they don't know how to do it. They're not professionals, you know.
Yeah, they make it worse.
It's not as easy as you would think it would be to try to do it all yourself. It takes away a lot of your time and puts a lot of headache on you.
Yeah. And the thing that I always tell people is like, you're wanting to run a business, but you're letting the business run you if you're the one in there doing the work. Now, like I said, you guys are a little different because that you're a contractor. It's what you do, but
it's not going to move as fast either. You're not going to get it done by yourself as fast as it would be if you hired somebody out. Yes, it costs you money. You're going to lose that little extra money, but you're also going to get money back faster because you're getting to your end goal a lot faster.
Yeah.
And think about it this way too, is like you are supposed to be like dealing with the leads. You're supposed to be finding more properties. You're supposed to be raising capital. And like, if you're in there doing all that work, then all that's falling to the wayside. Right.
And it did. And I'd have to pull off and go look at properties or something else. So it was a juggle.
Yeah.
And it was,
well, it was constantly fighting to figure out what's more important at the moment instead of being able to focus on what we really need to focus on. So when you say lesson learned, I think that's our biggest lesson learned from the Myers project. Not that we regret doing it, because obviously lessons need to be learned, and it comes with anything you decide to do. But that was lesson number one. Big lesson number one.
That's the biggest thing is like HGTV makes flips look sexy. There's a lot of people out here that talk about flips. I hate flips. I've got two going right now, and they're going really well. But like I do very, very, very light cosmetic flips if I have to do any type of rehab at all. So that's why I continue to do stuff like that. But you're talking $100,000. You know, that's a huge rehab, and that it takes up a lot of time. It takes up a lot of headspace. Now, obviously it worked out really, really good for you guys, but, you know, I don't always suggest that on the first deal, or the fifth deal for that matter. But you guys didn't get $100,000 whenever you bought that property. You had to go back and ask for more money.
I did. So like I said, with the Airbnb, I think originally it was 40,000.
Yeah.
40,000 that we had asked for, and I ended up having to go back to the hard money lender and tell him that, you know, our original plan wasn't going to work, and it was either we had to back out of it 100% or, you know, and just basically sell it as is to another investor, or we needed to get more rehab money and do a full flip on the project, which he worked with us and he gave us that extra money. So we finished the project.
Yeah. So that's another big lesson learned is like, or for you new guys that are listening, it's like, you know, if something, it's not always going to go like you think it's going to go, but everybody wants you to, you know, win. Everybody wants you to do well on this property, especially the lenders and things. Like when things go bad, we often see people like start dodging lenders and not communicating and being, trying to duck and hide from people. And it's like, no, like we understand, we've already been through this, you know, that's why we do what we do. We understand that things aren't going to go as planned always. So it's best to communicate with those guys and just say, hey, look, this is what's going on. What do you think? What can we do? Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Which truthfully, like I relied on him a lot through the process, just because, like I said, we've done flips, but nothing to the extent where when you do a live-in flip, you have all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. You have,
if you don't get finished that night, you can always go back to.
I can go to bed at night and then finish that project tomorrow or next week, or, you know. And this was, you're working on a time limit, so you don't have that. And you're not working with your own money. You're working with somebody else's money. Right. So it was stressful in a lot of ways. But I will say that he was very supportive. Anytime I had questions, he was there. Suggestions, because he does flips as well. So any kind of suggestions, or, you know, I asked him, I remember one time I asked him, I was like, well, this is how much money it's going to take for me to do this or this, you know, where do you think the value would lie better at? So it was just, you know, bouncing a lot of things off of him. We had a lot of conversations.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's why I recommend these guys, and I don't recommend people who we don't work with and have good relationships with, because that's the thing is, like, if you guys get into it, then I can call and hop on a phone call with them and walk through stuff and talk through stuff with them. And, you know, if you guys don't know what's going on, then we can all hop on the phone and get things figured out. Right. So, it's good to have those relationships. It's good to learn how to find these guys on your own and build relationships with them, but it helps out a ton when you can join a group like this and, you know, get referred to these people who we've already worked with, who already know what's going on. Right. So, so what else do you guys have? Is there any other lessons that a newbie should know from this thing, or you got any more golden nuggets?
Well, I think our primary lesson, I think it dawned on us the most when we did our wholesale deal during that process. So, like I said, just value your time more than trying to manage everything yourself. Managing your time is probably one of the biggest things you need to worry about.
I spent long nights there. I was there at 1-2 o'clock some night or some mornings.
Yeah.
Trying to get this thing done. And yeah, it's definitely not worth it to do.
We made
it yourself. Get somebody to help you.
Yeah. We made, the $68,000, which I'm grateful for. But during that process, we made $20,000 on a wholesale deal that I probably could have made it. So it took me 6 months to make the $68,000.
Right.
Now, granted, I know every wholesale deal is not $20,000, but my first one was, which was great. So truthfully, if I would have had more time to dedicate to finding other deals, wholesaling, or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, taking on other leads, I probably could have made more than that. Right. In that 6 months.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on the wholesale deal, because this is I'm going to put it out kind of like a case study. So I really wanted the focus to be on Myers. But we're close to the end, and you have essentially in the first year almost made $100,000 on two deals. And so I guess, like, for people who are listening, who are like brand spanking new, like, what kind of advice can you give those guys? Cause y'all have been through it. Like, you know, you've gotten into these projects. You've had some go easy, some go hard. Like, what is some advice that you would give a new listener?
Just stick with it. I mean, we had a hard go in the beginning, you know, family wise, personal wise, we had our own issues at home going on. It kind of put us behind. Truthfully, just stick with it. I mean, it will come and you will learn.
It just takes a little time.
It takes time and it takes practice and it takes talking and reaching out and asking for help.
You can't be scared to call and ask somebody.
Yeah.
If they want to sell their house. I mean, at the end of the day, that's where you're going to get it.
I don't think I've met anybody in the group or outside of the group as an investor that is not willing to help, you know? Most everybody that we've dealt with, even, like I said, even outside of the group, because we've met a lot of people in the past year that are outside of the group as well. And almost everybody's willing to help in, you know, any kind of way. People have advice, people have different things that they've seen and been through. So just take everything into consideration and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. 100% taking action. Like, that's a big takeaway too, is that's a part of keeping going, is getting started. Right. So that's a big one that I deal with all the time. It's like, you can see the potential in people and you want them to do really well, but they're so scared to take that first leap. So, that's the biggest thing. So, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Do you guys read any books or anything like that? You like reading?
We hadn't been, but here lately we have. We picked up several books. The one I was reading,
I can't think of, some about
I don't know who it is, but the one I'm reading right now is called Make Your Bed.
Make Your Bed. Oh, David Goggins. Or not
Hacking
David
Cash Goggins. Or something like that. Something yeah. was the one I got. Can't remember what it was called.
What is it?
The Hacking Cash or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
Cash
that.
Hacking or something.
Yeah. So if you guys were to go back in time and start completely over, what would your focus be? Like what would you do as far as marketing goes, and what would your strategy be focused on?
So we didn't market at first. We were, you know, kind of
pulling from, we tried doing cold calling.
Yeah. Cold calling is kind of harder to do.
Time wise, it's harder to do,
especially family with the family trying to do that. So yes, definitely try to do postcarding,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. Find it on the online.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know, we've partnered with another investor to do some of that, so we didn't have to front all that cost up front, mm-hmm. On marketing. So that worked really well for us in the beginning. So yeah, definitely, I would do postcards.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Well, good deal, guys. Well, hey, I appreciate you guys being on. Like I said, we're going to put this out as a case study. So I want people to take what you guys have been through and what I've been through and what some of the other guys in our coaching group have been through and learn from it, right? So that's what it's all about. So thank you guys for coming on and sharing. I know it was a hard process as far as that flip goes, but I think it worked out very well. And I think you guys come out definitely stronger on the back end, because now y'all are doing several deals right now. So if anybody wanted to like reach out to you guys or find you guys, I mean, you got Facebook or Instagram, or what's the best way to reach out to you guys?
I have Facebook. It's Alexa J. Bolton Clark. And then I'm working on trying to do the TikTok thing. So
TikTok.
I'll post that on my Facebook whenever I get it going good.
Well, we'll find you on Facebook then. So thank you guys for coming and sharing. And man, y'all have a great rest of the night.
Awesome. Thanks. Talk to you later.
See you guys. Hey guys, if you got anything out of this podcast, man, I hope that you will come back, you'll listen, you'll subscribe to it. And look, if you're interested in learning how we do what we do, because interest rates are high right now, like it's hard to do normal things, normal strategies, and we're teaching seller financing and creative financing, and that is super, super important to know. It's time for creative financing now. And so if you're interested in learning how to do the things that we do, reach out to us. Let's have a conversation.